Hello, everyone, and welcome to Not Quite Hollywood. I'm Jamie.
John.
And I'm August.
And we are here to talk about some topics of the week. We are going to lead off with August this time.
Yeah. So, if you listened to last podcast, we went over a communal movie of Castaway. I didn't like it. I did not have a favorable opinion of this film, which is weird. Because growing up, about high school, I watched this movie about 10 fucking times.
Right.
Within like a period of several months. Had a friend in high school and his family loved this movie. They loved Tom Hanks. So I'd, you know, be over and they'd put it on and I'd watch it and enjoy it. But years have passed. Like a good 10, 11 years have passed, and going back and watching it, I hated it. And it's weird having movies like that where your opinion just switches all of a sudden. Fight Club was another movie for me. Mm. I'd say that's more right. Yeah, it was about high school. Yeah, kind of into college as well when I was watching that movie. It was one of my favorite films during that time. And about like a week or two ago, I popped it into the old Blu-ray player and watched it and got to the end and I was just like, why did I like this movie? Fight Club is not a horrible movie. But it's just like, I don't like it as much as I did. And so that kind of like made it worse, in my opinion. And it's weird having that happen to you.
Well, I felt similar to Fight Club. I didn't outright not like it on watching it like years later. I think for me, it just had, when I watched it, I was in college.
Yeah.
And I was like, God, I think I was like 23, 24 at the time.
Uh-huh.
And it just had an energy that fit that time in my life.
Yeah.
When I was at that age.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that rebellious, you know, fuck corporations, blah, 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 let's tear it all down kind of thing. And then when I watched it again when I was in my 30s, and I was like, it seems pretty immature. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know if that's just a product of age. I didn't feel it the same way.
Based on our conversation last week, you hate products, fuck corporations.
I do.
It should be right up your alley now, but...
Well, yeah, but it's kind of heavy-handed.
Now, this reminds me, this is always what I hear about two films. In the mid-2000s, college films, Equilibrium and Boondock Saints.
Yeah.
Boondock Saints, I will agree. Equilibrium was never good.
You didn't like it? I liked Equilibrium, but again, I watched it back when it came out, so I'd have to watch it
again. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
See, that was a movie that has been, like, you know, towed around. It's like, this is a really great movie, really great movie. Yeah. And I watched it about maybe a year, 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really see anything. Another one was Event Horizon.
Oh, God.
So I feel like those are just like some movies you have to watch at like a certain time.
Sure, yeah.
So that's what I'm kind of like getting at with like revisiting these movies like Castaway and Fight Club and Equilibrium and Event Horizon. Is like, is it a product of time? Of like, is it either that you watch it at a certain time in your life or a certain time in history?
I think it's more a certain time in your life, just because there are movies that I feel are timeless that I can watch. Mm-hmm. Like Goonies.
Oh, yeah.
I can watch Goonies.
Oh, fuck.
Sure. All the time. It doesn't matter what age I'm at.
No.
I'll enjoy Goonies. But yeah, I think it's those movies that are kind of, they kind of target like that. It's got, like I said, an energy for a time. And it, if that's not really there anymore, then it's just not.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel like it holds up.
I was actually thinking about Boondock Saints the other day, because he got me on about like all these other movies that like cleaning up my movie collection, being like, all right, I don't watch this movie anymore, I don't watch this anymore, or I don't really have the urge to watch it. They don't have that timeless feel to me.
Yeah.
And there is actually one scene though of Boondock Saints that I will always love, and that's when they get drunk, the three of them.
Yeah.
And their partner or whatever, the long-haired Jesus guy, he slams his hands down on the table and the gun goes off and it destroys that cat.
Yeah.
That'll always be fucking funny to me. Because the first time I watched that, I like watched it, rewound it, watched it again, rewound it, and watched it again. Like, I think about five times because it's fucking hilarious.
But I was. This movie now. See, like, I was similar when we were talking about that because I had recently, probably about 3-4 years ago, sold off the vast majority of my DVD collection. Just because I used to have all these movies that I used to had seen at certain times that I loved.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I went back and went through them, I was just like, I don't have any connection. I don't feel like Jamie had mentioned in our last podcast about you watch a movie at a certain time and something's going on in your life and something can click.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They make it feel like this is a very important movie. Then when, like, say you move on, you get over it and whatever, and then you go back and you watch the movie again and you're like, I don't feel anything anymore, you know, for that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I sold off probably almost 300 DVDs. I knew I would just never watch again. You know?
Shit, yeah.
Because revisiting old movies is tricky, right? There are some people who have that zeitgeist of the times, like as filmmakers, and nail it, and then can still have a mostly timeless movie. Like, a lot of Kevin Smith stuff had that striking goal at the right time. And yeah, looking back on it now, obviously they're talking about videotapes and that kind of stuff makes it dated, but it still has like a lot of timeless appeal and it's well done regardless of when it was made. So there's some that kind of permeate that kind of stigma. But then there are some you watch again and like, Jesus, especially like, I mean, obviously kids' cartoons, you watch those again, it's fucking terrible.
Oh yeah, or...
I think you mentioned a couple weeks ago.
The number one movie I'm going to say is when I was a kid, when the animated Transformers movie came out.
That's what I was going to say.
I remember being a kid saying this was the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. I felt like I had adrenaline going through my body the whole time I was watching it. And then when I was like probably about 23, I found it again in a rental store.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked it up because I was like, I'm going to go home and I'm going to enjoy this as much as I did as a kid. And I was so disappointed in myself because I was like, it's not like a horrible, horrible movie, but it's definitely not when you're...
Great, yeah.
Yeah, in your mind's eye as a child.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the most amazing thing in the world. And it kind of ruined it for me. I was kind of like, I should have just never went back to this movie. I should have just let the memory of it stay in there, you know?
There's like a formula to it, right? If you've seen a movie... a few times, maybe once every few years, for the past 20 years or so, it's less likely to give you that kind of like shock and awe compared to a film I haven't seen since I was a kid, and it's like, holy fuck.
Billy Madison.
Hmm.
Lil Nicky. Independence Day.
Yep.
Godzilla.
Oh god, yeah, no kidding.
Roland Emmerich.
Yep.
Godzilla. Loved the shit out of that movie.
Me too.
Now, I can't watch that. But I can still watch the old Godzillas.
Those are timeless.
Like, not even Gojira, the first one.
1954?
Like Godzilla versus Mothra versus Rodan.
Those are awesome.
Mechagodzilla. Godzilla 2000, even. That's actually a pretty good one.
Mm.
When they went back to the suit. It kind of sucks, though. When you get... it ruins, you know, your opinion on them. Like, with you and Transformers. Because it's like another one is Viva Vendetta. Like, that's kind of around the same time with, like, Boondock Saints and Fight Club. Like, that's a great trilogy, just, like, right there.
Yeah.
They probably do sell that as a, like, 3-movie pack at Target or Walmart. So now, like, talking with someone about Viva Vendetta, and I'm just like, no, I don't like it at all. It's just like, but at one time I did. I don't know. Something about opinion, you know? Like,
I mean, there are all those movies.
Things changed.
Yeah, and it's hard because I'm down to... You see my DVD shelf now. There's not much on it.
Yeah.
It's down to movies that I know I can watch like once a year and I'll always enjoy them.
You know? Yeah.
And it's weird because now it's more... not so much drama and stuff. It's just like Army of Darkness and Evil Dead and Dead Alive and like these movies that I just had real lot of fun with and I can still have fun with watching. I'd say probably right now, like maybe Drive would be one that I see myself watching at least once a year.
Yeah.
Bronson.
I've actually watched that for several years. Because
I can't see eventually not enjoying those.
Yeah.
But it's become super selective. Like I do not. I used to go to like the Walmart bargain bin and just buy up whatever I thought was good at a time, you know. And,
my first movie I ever bought, Kindergarten Cop. And then it was Little Nicky. And then Major Payne.
Yeah. Man, Major Payne. I'm afraid to watch that one again.
See, I know, I am too. I'm afraid to watch it because I remember enjoying the hell out of it.
I laughed my ass off.
Yeah, and I don't want to go back and just be like, this movie's so fucking dumb.
I laughed at that. God.
Chicka, 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 chicka. Shoots the fuck out of that closet.
He did.
And if he isn't, he's scared.
And... Do you have an example of one, Jamie? Did you get? Do you know?
Yeah.
Can you think of any?
Yeah, I mean, definitely Major Payne, but I know it's the mid '90s or early '90s somewhere. That's like really bad. Oh, I used to fucking love Suburban Commando, Mr. Nanny. Yeah.
I remember Suburban Commando. I was a wrestling fan back then.
Yeah, Undertaker and Hogan. Yeah. Fuck yeah! Anyway, and then
if I watch it now, I go kick myself in the nuts for.
I watched both of those about 6 years ago, and that was enough time to be like, oh, fuck. Yeah. Why on earth did I like this?
Well, another one was No Holds Barred with Hulk Hogan.
I never watched that one.
I used to watch that all the time, and it's ranked one of the shittiest movies like ever made.
Judge Dredd.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God.
That's one I used to watch and love when I was younger. Yeah. I don't know if I could do it now.
Probably not.
I think I could still do Demolition Man, though.
I was going to say.
Demolition Man, I'll still do.
That seems like B-movie fun.
Yeah, I thought Wesley Snipes as Simon Phoenix was fucking phenomenal.
Yes.
I'd never seen like a character like that like on the screen. Now they're like a dime a dozen, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like crazy psychotic and just being like, I want to kill shit just to kill shit.
Oh my God, here's a fucking one. I was 12 when it came out. Steel.
Oh God, with
Shaquille. And Kazam, while we're at it, Kazam. That shit was god-awful. Super Mario Brothers. I loved it as a kid. I know, I was like, it doesn't feel like the games, but that's okay. No, it's not.
You know what's one I'm afraid to go back to? Because I do like the first one. The original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, I like a lot. Because it was dark.
I don't think you're going to have a hard time with that one.
No, that one I don't think I'll have a hard time with. It's the sequel.
I liked it.
I used to like the sequel. Now I don't know. I think I'll hate myself.
But two is so cheesy. I think it's nostalgia more, and it's going to be not as good as you remember, sure. Three is the worst, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Not going to bother with that one, but...
I walked out of the theater on the third one, and I was a kid.
Holy shit! You know what
I mean? I walked out of the theater.
Yeah, wow, I didn't know that.
You were a kid. It was so bad.
What did you do? Like, I'm going to go get popcorn and not fucking go back in this movie?
I was just like, I have zero interest. Like, this isn't holding my attention, like, at all.
Were you with your parents?
No, I was with some friends, but I just left.
So what'd you do?
I just walked out. I just said, I don't like this, and I walked out. I was like,
so you just went home?
Well, I was disappointed, because I was expecting, like, part one and what I thought was the great part two.
Yeah.
And it wasn't.
See, now I'm more concerned that, like, you went off on your own as a little kid.
Well, I wasn't. How old? When did that come out? I say kid. Maybe
I think it was like, 93.
Oh, I was probably, like, 13.
Okay.
I was two.
I was seven. Eight.
Triple X.
Oof.
Oh, I never watched them.
I never liked it to begin with.
Oh, really? No. I loved that shit when I was younger.
I was so bored with it. Except when he jumps the fucking whole building with a motorcycle.
Oh, yeah. Don't give a shit about cars, but...
Oh, no, don't.
Pontiac GTO, 1970 whatever.
Is that...
Whatever is the Triple X car, I fucking want one of those.
I thought you were going to say Cars, the movie. I was going to fucking kick you.
I haven't seen Cars.
Okay, if we're getting on the topic of Disney, when I was a really young kid, I was absolutely obsessed with Lion King. Oh. I don't think I could go back to Lion King.
I think you wouldn't have a hard time with it.
I think I could go back to We're Back.
Wow, isn't that called We're Back, colon, A Dinosaur Tale?
I think so.
I don't think if I watched it, I don't remember a damn thing about it.
The only thing I remember is... The dinosaurs going through
New York City?
The parade or whatever. And people think that they're balloons.
That's classic. Jingle All the Way. I fucking love that.
Okay,
kid.
Okay. I think I could watch that again now. Arnold has camp. Like, before then it was star power, and now it's turned into absolute fucking camp that's entertaining.
Well, that's the thing. I watched it last year. We had a drinking game on it. It was fucking hilarious because it was so bad.
Yeah.
But I loved it unabashedly as a kid. Like, it's a great movie.
Yeah.
Super funny for the wrong reasons.
Turbo Man.
Turbo Man. Space Jam.
I don't think I could go back to that. I never watched
Space Jam.
Good for you.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to watch it now because there's going to be a sequel coming out. So
with LeBron.
With LeBron James.
I mean, the funny thing is, like, it's pretty good with Bill Murray and, like, the real, like, basketball players. It got me into NBA basketball for a while. It's cartoony, and I think that's what they're going for, but it's just not good.
No. Mine has Bill Murray, though.
Bill Murray's the fucking best part about it.
Bill Murray can pull any shit. It's weird.
Wayne Knight's in there, and he can... Or no, it's Daffy Duck approaches him at the end of the game. He's like, how did you get here? He's like, I don't know, some teams that brought me down. Like, it was, like, his legit, like, he just does stuff whenever he fucking wants to. He's so cool.
Yeah.
Honestly, if you guys have any, if you listeners out there have any that we may have missed that you loved growing up and you've realized how shitty they were or not as good as you thought they were, let us know.
Yeah.
Be fun to hear.
That'd be super fun to hear. Probably may disagree on a few. Or definitely agree on a lot.
Well, we can't agree amongst ourselves, so we're definitely not going to agree with you on something. One of us will hate you for it. But no segue I can think of, honestly, to go into my topic. But
what is your topic?
My topic is, I don't know, I guess like the behind-the-scenes stuff, but or the more technical stuff. But my topic is how speaking of these movies growing up, I guess that's a good one, how they used to come out all in the summer, like fucking dump in the summer, and then the rest of the year, most of it is shitty. Right?
Yeah.
With maybe some November Oscar stuff coming out. But now it's pretty widespread. Obviously, this year's indicative of that. Deadpool is one of the biggest movies of the year, and it came out in February. And now, like, you know, we're not talking about quality here, but Batman vs. Superman came out in March. Mm-hmm. Captain America came out in May. But
I saw that.
The one that came out 2 years ago came out in April, I think. Man, so, like, Winter Soldier.
Oh.
So, I mean, like, they're starting to spread them out, which I think is a smarter idea. I mean, I don't know why it hasn't been done before, but in the olden days, I guess, it was harder to sell a movie in February. Like, I don't know why, what changed. Geek culture, maybe? I mean, what are you guys' thoughts on that? Like,
I would have to say I disagree that it has changed, because I feel like that it's still kind of there. We still have summer blockbusters. Or what do you mean by dump? Like dumping all shit movies or...
Well, okay, so the
dumping all movies.
The biggest money makers of the year would normally release in summer. Or the blockbusters, the big comedies, the big... You know what I mean?
Like, okay.
The majority of the films that made money that year would come out in the summer.
I would say, though, with Deadpool, Fox didn't know it was going to do so well.
No, they definitely didn't. But that's why they put it in a safer...
Exactly.
...area... Where it has more time to grow.
They still put X-Men Apocalypse in the summer.
Yeah.
And which movie did better?
Right. And that's another thing, too. In the olden days, there was more like of a tale for these films. There was less of these bigger films. Like, every week now, it seems like there's something trying to get your attention.
That's the thing. You can look at... God, I can't remember where I saw it. It was like a graph showing like the amount of like super high budget films that used to come out in like the 80s and 90s, and they were just sparse and far between. Now you see currently it's almost every other week, you know what I mean, or once a month at least.
Mm-hmm. Definitely at least once a month. Yeah.
But wasn't it like Titanic that started the whole let's just drop it in a time that in a month that's...
Yeah, they came out... Oh, Jesus, I'm trying to think.
November or February?
Maybe November.
Because I used to always say that. I'm like, why don't these studios drop a really good movie in that dead time? They'll get all the all the box office off it.
John just said that Titanic's a good movie.
Well, no, I was just about to say I hate Titanic. I don't think it's a good movie. But what they think is a hit.
Okay,
Drop it at a dead time.
Actually, it's funny because it came out in the Oscar season, December 19th.
December. Yeah.
But it had such a fucking tail that it lasted. It was big, huge in like February to March, that April area. It was like before the entire summer kept going and going. I don't know. I just wish that, you know, January is getting closer to not being shit anymore. Like, there's some fun, like, I'll go to movies and kind of zone out for a while in this movie. Not high quality yet. But it's starting to creep up in January. I'm trying to think of a good example. Yeah.
I like Red Letter Media every year does the... Fuck you. Fuck you, it's January. Yeah.
I was thinking about January and like that season and all the movies that I have watched then. I've actually watched some great movies during that season, but they weren't released in that season. So that's what makes it kind of weird, is that they're mostly indie films. So like Room.
Yeah.
That didn't come around in our area
until
it was February.
Room, which just popped up on Amazon Prime, if you have an Amazon Prime account.
Nice.
Which now I can watch it.
It's very good.
Do you remember anything that was said about it?
Everything, but I want to watch it. Well, I already knew everything.
Steel trap of mine. I wish I had half your mind. Well, yeah, that's the thing. Usually you're catching up on the Oscar, potential Oscar nominations, or the ones you wanted to see that were in limited release forever.
Mm-hmm.
Same here. Like this January, I watched The Revenant. I caught up with that. Or I did watch Room. No, that was like February I watched it.
Hateful Eight.
Yep, Hateful Eight.
So that's also makes it really weird and like, when is a movie season considered? Considering how long some of these films are put in or are left in theater. Like, I'm sure some theaters are still showing Star Wars Force fucking Awakens.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, probably.
Actually, when I was in Montreal, I think there's Cineplex. No, they didn't.
But I mean, I feel bad for like cinemas, especially when they're like, yeah, Hollywood delivers all these movies that they have to pay out the ass for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden there's months of dead time. You know what I mean? Right. I mean, these cinemas must be like, give us something that we can make our money off of. You know, make something off of.
Right.
We want to get people in here.
It was in February that I was still seeing Force Awakens around. Mm. I'm like, I feel like anybody who saw that movie had already seen it.
Yeah.
And those who wanted to see it multiple times had already gotten their fill of it.
Yeah.
So it's just like, that's kind of taken away from other films during that season and giving them a chance.
Sure. But I miss that, though. Like, as a kid, I missed like the long lead time or tale of a film because it was so cool to see, like, how far can you go now? But then there wasn't a lot of competition back then. So I know what you're saying now.
This reminds me of professional wrestling.
Okay.
Where's this going?
When I was growing up, professional wrestling aired like once a week.
Oh, okay.
And then the wrestlers that you knew, the names, always fought jobbers, like people with no names or just...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
And then there was one big match at the end where it was two people that you knew would wrestle each other and everyone would freak out. And then you'd have to wait a whole other week. And sometimes they did like... They only had 4 pay-per-views a year.
Yeah.
Okay. And then it wasn't until like the 90s that someone in wrestling was like, why are we doing this? Why don't we just put all of our stars in the show, make them wrestle each other every week, do a pay-per-view once a month, and then it blew up. It just blew up and got super popular.
Yeah.
So I kind of look at that as like the movie industry, like it was like for years it's been, or decades, it's been just let's put out a few good hits. Yeah. Few times a year, and then blah, blah, blah. But now I think it's starting to be like, why are we doing this? Why don't we just put out these quality movies every month throughout the year, you know?
But do you feel like that there will be a oversaturation?
It's already oversaturated.
And here's the catch.
But that oversaturation is going to continue, and it's going to build and build. Like,
I agree. I understand. Well, not so much. Now. It doesn't have to be like the typical Hollywood blockbuster. But at least release something.
Well, okay, yeah,
in these months, you know what I mean, to get people to go. Yeah. Maybe use those downtimes for the unique movies or the independent movies.
Yes.
Promote the hell out of them. Throw them in January or all these other dead months.
September.
Yeah. Throw those in there. Then I'll go to the theater. You know?
But there's the catch-22, right? They're making less films now. They've always had more films in the olden days. But there are more films now are placating to the constant, you know, insatiable hunger of these blockbuster films. So that's kind of like the problem. Like, so a lot of these blockbusters are not of quality anymore.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Like, in the 80s, like, when Back to the Future came out, oh, man, that was a good, you know, a lot of people flocked to it because it was a well-done film of a cool concept, and it wasn't like, there wasn't a lot of things out like that in that
year. Yeah.
But...
Well, that's another thing. I think Hollywood is also suffering from a creative drought.
Yeah. Stagnation.
Stagnation. You know, I mean, like you said Back to the Future, and that reminded me of, like, when I was young, going to see, like, Karate Kid and stuff like that, and it was just a big phenomenon to go see these movies, and I don't feel that as much anymore. But, you know, it's remakes, sequels, well, it's like reimaginings, and it's like
the... The reason why I like Warcraft is because with their plot, I mean, visuals, fight scenes, is shit I'd already seen before, but some of the plot points, where the story went...
But still,
it was interesting enough to where I was like, I like it.
But still, like, an adaptation of something else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'd like to see Hollywood do more original or find more creative people. Let more creative people, you know, take control a little bit, you know? But Hollywood doesn't take chances on that.
Well, they get those creative people, but they don't give them the control.
Yeah.
Well, I think you hit that on the head, though. I mean, like,
creative,
I don't think creatively there's a drought. I think they're just playing it too safe.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, I listened to a podcast that's with screenwriters, Script Notes, and they talk about that. Like, they've read a lot of good scripts that are not being made because Hollywood is more comfortable with a name brand sequel, a remake, something that's going to have a better chance of return.
It has to be known in another medium first,
yeah,
or something, or a previous movie and just make a remake.
Yeah. But I'm more excited nowadays about movies like Neon Demon and Swiss Army Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Original ideas with a cool concept, cool visuals, and then it's like, here's your calling card for this person. Here's their work, you know? Give them some more work.
Well, it's kind of dumb with the whole Hollywood system of being, we want to play it safe. Because they all play it safe, you can't pick one movie from the next, especially with the stagnation, or the... oversaturation of, like, releasing so many of these blockbusters right after another that they all blend in and seem like the same movie. So the movie that is original doesn't play it safe. Yeah. It, like, rises above those, and it may not, like, reach the same numbers, but when you put it down, like, to percentage wise of budget over how much it grosses, it's like blows the shit out of a multi, like, even a billion-dollar project.
This is why we're called Not Quite Hollywood, because we get pissed off at fucking Hollywood.
Stop it.
I hope it's more widespread. I hope every month there is some film I'm interested in. Like, that's the idea, right? You want people to go every month, every week?
Well, I mentioned it in a past podcast that I used to go almost once a week to the theater.
Yeah.
And nowadays, it's... maybe once a month I'll go, unless I have an opportunity to go see, like, an independent film or something that's an older film being played in a theater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as far as the newer ones, I feel that saturation, and I feel the... Because you're right, there's no lack of creative people. It's lack of chances, you know.
I don't even know what's playing around here, really.
I don't either. I mean,
not much.
I mean, probably Central Intelligence, Warcraft,
BFG. Like, I didn't get a chance to see it, but I was more excited when I drove through Bucksport and saw the little Alamo Theater was playing Lobster.
Yeah. Except for Warcraft, pretty much every movie that I've gone to lately has been down at the Railroad Square Cinema. Square Cinema. Said that weird. But, yeah, I mean, it's usually like an indie project or whatever. It wasn't necessarily, like, released that day or, like, you know, that month, but... at least they're showing something like that.
Yeah.
And so that's why I feel like these other bigger movie theaters should maybe, like, take that in consideration.
Mm.
Be like, all right, this is a really slow month because these movies, they're not pulling in a lot of money. So let's kind of kick one of them out, bring in something kind of, like, really weird, interesting, something kind of independent. It's going to be a risk, and see if we can get at least a few more tickets.
Well, exactly. And if you can get some word of mouth on a film, then you'll get people to go in.
Oh, yeah.
It's only a handful. Like, when I went to see Conjuring 2, again, I was the only one in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
I was considered successful at the box office, but it just ends. But then it still plays in the theater for another, like, 3 weeks or something like that.
Yeah.
So, but then when there's only one person in the theater, then it's kind of like, maybe we played something like The Lobster, and then a few people come in and then talk to other people, and a few more people go in, and people don't have to drive an hour and a half or wherever to go see it.
You know? I mean, to be honest, you hear the name The Lobster. We live in Maine, so...
Yeah, you might bring in... People think it's like a documentary about...
It's about lobster fishing.
Jimmy the Lobster.
But then you, like, look at that poster, and I feel sorry for you if you... You know, hear the name, look at that poster, and you don't get, like, a little inquisitive about that movie and being like, what the fuck is that about?
It's good design.
Amazing design. But, what the fuck do I know?
But you know what's funny? There's a place in Belfast, it's called Three Tides Marshall Wharf, and they got a little outside bar area where it's, like, kind of almost right on the water. And they got an outdoor fireplace, they got old... chairs and old picnic tables for you to sit at. You can get snacks and you can get beers. If you smoke, you can still smoke cigarettes there. You can vape, whatever. They recently installed, I think it was last summer, a big screen TV, and they play old movies.
Oh.
But you know what? It packs it. Every time they play an old movie, it's packed. It's just filled with people, and they get to have a beer and have a smoke and sit outside and watch a movie, you know? Wow. It's like a step down from a drive-in, but... It packs places, and you think theaters would be thinking, you know, maybe taking chances on older films or independent films or things like that.
Just might doing a showing of it, that would definitely draw me into there, because that's one thing the theater will always have over, like, VOD, Blu-rays, is the experience of watching in the cinema. Like, I'm trying to think of a movie, Solaris.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen that on Blu-ray, I've watched it at home, I loved it, it was great. But seeing it in theater was fucking awesome. I'm just, you hear, like, even how archaic it was. You heard the crackle and the sound, you saw the scratches on the film stock, but it's like, this is Solaris, but on a fucking gigantic screen. Yeah.
How was the turnout for the show? Because it was one night only, right?
Yeah, it was a one night. I would say that the turnout was decent for an older film and one that is foreign.
Sure.
Subtitles, and it's Tarkovsky. It's not like it's a Woody Allen or Akira Kurosawa, Fellini or something like that. They are kind of similar, but still, it's not one that's easily recognizable. So I feel like the turnout was... pretty good. Yeah, there was only... I only saw one person leave, and it was the hipsterest looking guy, and he sat, like, directly in front of me, and he left, and I was like,
oh. He was like, I guess I'm only hipster in image.
Yeah. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I guess I'm just a real hipster.
Not the same type of film, but similarly, when last year when they showed Back to the Future 2 again on the day, it was a pretty good turnout, because people like to see something that they grew up with, maybe never seen in theaters, like I had never seen it in theaters, and finally see it. Like we watched Jaws last year at the drive-in, that was cool, because you know there's something about that. If I had a movie theater, I would have one screen dedicated to playing old movies.
Fucking definitely.
Yeah, one every week, or maybe a couple.
Or even just movies that didn't get a release, really.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's even better.
Even in America, like, Hard to Be a God. I would fucking love to see that on a huge screen. I'd sit there for 3 hours. I'll need a cup of coffee. But, like, Battle Royale or Suicide Club, that'd be fucking great. We need something like it.
And support your local small-time cinemas.
Oh, yeah.
100%. Like you mentioned, what was it?
Railroad Square in Waterville.
The Alamo Theater in Bucksport. The Colonial Theater in Belfast. And what was the one in Bar Harbor?
Real Pizza Cinerama.
Yeah. That's four right there. Right in the local area if you're a local person in Bangor.
Not a good segue either in this one.
You're going to segue?
We have no segue.
Oh, we're going off the script.
Off
the script. Improv that segue.
Improv. My topic.
Are there any older movies that you had watched that did not come out in the... in the summer that starred musicians?
Well, I was going to say, let's just scratch this all together. I'm looking at the drive-in, and they're showing some older films like Labyrinth and Purple Rain.
Two perfect examples of my topic. Yeah. My topic is musicians turned actors. And the reason I'm bringing this up was the whole time I was watching the movie I talked about in the last podcast, He Never Died, with Henry Rollins, I was super impressed with Henry Rollins' performance. And I think he's a great actor. And I started thinking about musicians, specifically musicians, that have turned actor. Okay. Or have dipped their toe in acting here and there. And I think when they're good, they're great. They're amazing in their roles. When they're bad, they're bad. You know?
Yeah. Super fucking bad.
You have your Mariah Carey's.
Britney Spears.
Ooh, yeah. Kelly Clarkson, I think, did one.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, Justin and Kelly.
From Justin to Kelly.
Is it from
Justin to Kelly. Like a love letter.
I thought it was Justin and Kelly.
Just bullshit. Wow. Just
So anyway, I started thinking about old roles of actors in old films that I had seen. I always go back to Tom Waits. You know, he's my favorite artist of all time.
Yeah.
And he's always been good in any role he's in.
Mystery Men,
he was awesome.
Oh, shit, you want to talk about old movies? Mystery Men will never lose its luster for
me. No.
It's a fucking awesome movie. But
Seven Psychopaths, he was the one with the dog.
Book of Eli.
He was the pawn guy.
Yep.
What else? He was in The Fisher... No, yeah, The Fisher King. He was like the Vietnam vet in the subway.
Okay.
He kind of gives these little life lessons and stuff. Amazing. Amazing performances. And it made me wonder, like, is it natural for these musicians to just go into acting? I mean, you think, you know, if you're a musician, you're naturally acting. You're putting on a show.
Yeah, yeah, you have to have stage presence.
You gotta have stage presence. So some of the best ones I can think of, Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
Almost every role he's in, he kind of plays basically a weirdo in almost every film he's in.
Yeah, he does a great job.
But he does a great job. He was in The Big Lebowski. He was in The Chase. Nice.
It was a Mad McFly. Chicken.
Yeah, he was in
Two and three.
Another one. You mentioned Labyrinth. Mm-hmm. David Bowie.
Mm.
Yeah.
God, every role he's in.
Every role he's been in.
Prestige
as Nikola Tesla, my favorite historical figure, played by David Bowie.
Mm-hmm. It's Nolan's best.
Even his cameo in Zoolander is fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
It's fucking David Bowie.
There's a movie with him. I keep hearing about it.
The Man Who Fell to Earth.
The Man Who Fell to Earth, yes.
I want to see that so bad.
I'm looking over his filmography. He was in The Last Temptation of Christ.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Did he play Judas?
Not sure. I haven't seen it.
The Scorsese?
Yeah.
Ooh.
He played some smaller role, but I guess he was really good in that.
Bjork? Acted in a film?
Dancing in the Dark.
Yeah.
Great fucking movie. Fantastic.
Isn't that pretty... Is it a rough film?
Sure. It's fucking Lars von Trier.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a reason why she said she'd never act again.
Well, yeah.
He broke her.
I feel like Lars von Trier has broken a lot of people.
He's purposely sets out to break people, I swear.
What does that say about Charlotte Gainsbourg?
She fucking loves the pain.
Yeah.
Three films with him, if you count Nymphomaniac as two, right? Antichrist and...
No, she's in Melancholia.
Four, then.
Yeah.
Damn. All right. Cool. Yeah. Will Smith.
I was just about to get into
the shitty one.
The mainstream guys. Will Smith, Mark Wahlberg. Who used to be Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
Come on, feel it.
He's getting departed. And the other guys. And that's it.
Justin Timberlake,
for sure.
I like him. He's not a super good actor, like, but he's enjoyable. He's a good, charismatic kind of person.
He seems to not be afraid to make a fool of himself, too.
Yeah.
Which is a good quality.
That's what I've seen Justin Timberlake suck on an inhaler and Social Network. That's very funny.
Oh, that's right. I mean, he started a little, like... slower, like he was in like a Black Snake Moan, he did as the boyfriend.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
Yeah, I like that. He was in Alpha Dog. I heard that was a good movie. I haven't seen it.
I heard he was funny as like the Canadian in The Love Guru, which I haven't seen.
Oh, that was a movie I hated.
Mm. He was also in Time.
I liked In Time. Andrew Niccol, who did Gattaca.
So we can put him up there as decent.
He's better.
What
than
about
most?
That car crash scene though? That's the only thing I've seen of In Time.
I can't remember, honestly.
It's a horrible scene. It's fucking hilarious. I've got a good one.
Yeah?
Very small filmography. Mr. Yasin Bey. He recently changed his name. Mos Def.
Mos Def?
He changed his name? Oh, yeah. Mos Def is great. It's Yasin
Bey now. Yes, Mos Def, Be Kind, Rewind, Hitchhiker's Guide.
I haven't seen Be Kind, Rewind.
I liked it's pretty Be good. Kind, Rewind a lot. Hitchhiker's Guide, Monster's Ball, Italian Job.
Italian Job, yes. Yeah. Another one, 16 Blocks.
Oh, yes.
That's right.
With him and Bruce Willis.
Yep.
Like, he's kind of hard to understand that movie, but he does do, I feel like, a really well New York accent.
Yep.
Just because, like, how he slurs and just, he does a really good job with that character. I was thoroughly surprised by him. And Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, I love it.
Oh, yeah. Good.
No, it's not as great as the book, but it's a pretty...
Yeah,
good movie.
I like that movie a lot.
And Mos Def does a great job for that character. He's just fucking hilarious.
So there are two guys that I want to mention that I like. They're character actors. They've never really had starring roles, I don't think. They're two country singers. Dwight Yoakam.
Yes.
And Kris Kristofferson.
Yes.
Those guys are just fucking jack of all trades.
Dwight Yoakam and Sling Blade? Why are you doing
that face? His head. I don't know these guys.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay. I'm going to show them. Dwight Yoakam, yeah. Sling Blade, he was in Crank.
He was in Panic Room.
He's the doctor in Crank.
Okay. Oh! Yeah!
Ugly motherfucker.
Yeah. He's a country singer first.
What other... No, he's... What other movies has been in?
Sling Blade, both Cranks, Panic Room.
Under the Dome. Wedding Crashers.
Those TV shows. Wedding Crashers.
Banditas. Okay. South of Heaven.
Okay.
West of Hell.
He looks very familiar.
And Kris Kristofferson was Blade's, like, mentor. The action movies Blade.
Yeah, the older guy, Whistler.
Whistler, yeah. Yeah, so that was...
That's Kris Kristofferson?
Yeah.
I thought that was Nick Nolte.
Ouch. Ouch. Come on, give some credit to the guy. Nick Nolte's... Oof.
I can't really think of any other singers, though.
There are a lot.
There's a lot. There's... Well, like, you might not be a fan Ooh. Of hers, but Queen Latifah...
Yeah, she's done... I think she's done more acting than she ever had music.
Well, I remember her growing up as an old-school hip-hop fan.
Old-school hip-hop. Sounds like Ice T and Ice Cube.
Ice T, Ice Cube.
Meatloaf.
Oh, yeah, Meatloaf.
There we go.
He does a good job. He does a great job in...
Rocky Horror.
Rocky Horror. And Fight Club.
Fight Club. I liked him in Fight Club. Bob with big tits.
Jared Leto.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 30 Seconds to Mars.
He is really good in Mr. Nobody. And Lord of War.
Mr. Nobody, holy shit. Oh, Lord of War. Oh, so good.
I haven't seen Dallas Buyers Club.
He's good in that. Well, it's funny because he's always wanted to be a musician and he fell into acting first.
Yeah.
With My So-Called Life or...
Yes.
Yeah, Fight Club. He's in Fight Club too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see his Joker. It's a little aside, but I mean, they're older.
Some are surprising because when I was doing research on it, I didn't realize how many actors turned musicians.
Oh, yep.
There were a lot that ended up...
Yeah.
And there were some I didn't realize. Zooey Deschanel, apparently, has a band.
Yeah.
Juliette Lewis
has
a band. Zooey Deschanel's She and Him.
Yeah, She and Him.
It's with M. Ward.
I don't know.
M. Ward by himself was pretty good, but I don't really care for She and Him.
Then you got guys who are like being a musician is part of their wheelhouse, like Hugh Lowry.
Yeah. He's
a comedian, musician... Singer and actor. Great at all.
Steve Martin.
Yep.
Steve Martin. Yeah.
Banjo.
Huge bluesgrass artist. He doesn't do anything in movies anymore, but he just still goes around and just does bluegrass music. Which is really unfortunate because his last movies was Bakers.
Cheaper by the Dozen.
They were called Bakers. Like, that was his last name.
Right? Oh, okay.
So that's what I thought was Baker's Dozen.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I always like Steve Martin.
Yeah, all the time.
Harry Connick Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Independence Day. Again.
Let's hit the ties, not the fives, big boy.
Will Smith's partner.
Oh, in the beginning. Terrible. Okay, yeah.
He's been in other stuff that's more notable.
Oh, floats.
I can't do this joke. Who is he with? Was he with Julie Roberts? No, there's some ugly guy with Julie Roberts. Oh!
Oh, God, yes. I can't remember his name. What's his name? He's got the funny hair, too.
Lyle Lovett. I was going to joke and like, he's been in Julie Roberts, but...
Well, yeah, Lyle Lovett is... The curly, poofed up hair?
Okay. Almost David Lynch-esque. Yeah. I mean, there's some older ones.
Almost like Jack Nance.
Yeah. Elvis Presley, Frank Sinatra, the older ones.
Bing Crosby.
See, I think a lot of these people, they're either of two camps. One, that they're better actors than they were musicians, or they're more notable for their acting. Yeah. Or two, they're so prolific they can do all of it really well.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anybody who's really bad at one or the other. Like, they're okay, serviceable for the most part. And then there's some like Ice Cube, which would rather see him in a play music or rap than. But he's okay in 21 Jump Street. Yeah. But
it's funny because Ice Cube was
21.
Even when he was in like NWA, he pretended to be a gangster. That was acting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to see Are We There Yet 3.
We're done. the car's busted.
Jennifer Lopez.
Oh yeah,
J-Lo. She's
she was a booty fly girl booty, before booty everything girl. Else.
Yeah, Jennifer Lopez.
Out of Sight.
Out of Sight. Yeah, Out of Sight was good.
Made in Manhattan.
Oh yeah, made
The Cell.
Cell.
Yeah,
Cell's
yeah.
Good. The Cell.
Or
Cell.
Or is it The Cell?
The it's Cell. The Cell.
Courtney Love. She did Man on the Moon.
She did nothing good.
Nothing good. She was in Man in the Moon.
What? With Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
About Andy Kaufman? I
forgot about that.
What did she play? She
played, wasn't it his wife or his
I think
girlfriend?
His love interest or something, yeah.
That surprised me when she got cast for that. I didn't think she'd do well. She did fine.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Not really much to discuss on the topic.
No.
Or just, it's interesting. No, yeah. It was interesting to me to go through the list.
You kind of forget these people are one or the other. You know, like they're musicians. Like, oh, yeah.
But that's something you really don't see nowadays.
Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah,
Justin
that's
Timberlake.
That's super soon.
Beyonce.
That's
Foxy Cleopatra.
Super soon.
There's some. It's not as common, I guess.
Not as common.
Probably for a good reason, though.
A lot of talentless people in Hollywood nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of manufactured talent, not natural talent.
I want Jennifer Lawrence to come out.
She'll just whine and complain.
It's just a like soundtrack of her and David O. Russell fucking. With Bradley Cooper in the corner weeping and beating off.
I'm starting to like the end of these podcasts more and more. We just go off rails.
We're off rails. It's off rail time.
Off rails.
That's a t-shirt right there.
What, off rails?
No. Well, yeah, off rails.
We should make that an official segment at the end.
That could be our, like, our backup segment or whatever. Where we just record us, like, at the end doing off rail and just, we miss a week, then we can throw that shit up there.
Behind the scenes, everybody.
Woo!
After dark, they call them. The,
throwing it out right now. So, I guess it's time, isn't it?
It's time for John. Right? It is John.
Nope.
No.
It's not?
Wait a minute.
I thought you were next, because he did Hard to Be God, and then I was paying him back.
Is it my turn?
Yep.
No, he did American Splendor.
I did American
Splendor. Oh, shit. I'm stupid. Yeah. Fuck, it's August's turn.
It is my turn.
Yes. Can we just do John again?
Nope.
I'm tired of you guys doing me.
Next
week we'll do you.
All right.
Yay, John.
Next week we'll do me. The week after that we'll do you. We're doing me.
We're doing
this
you
week.
Too many times.
Yeah.
I don't.
We should do every third
mind.
Time August does a movie. Because it'll be as long.
Let's do me every week.
All right. We're bending them over right now.
For our listeners, by do me, we mean picking the communal movie.
You ruined the joke, August.
Well, I didn't want people to think that I'm getting gangbanged.
There were layers to that joke, August, and you ruined it. It was layer one, it was a movie, or layer two, we fuck you.
Those are very deep.
Those are the two layers.
Two layers is too deep for me. You got to keep it all surface level.
Surface level.
You need to keep it on par with Castaway.
All right.
Just the surface.
I can't wait to hear your next movie.
So,
again, I reiterate, I do not want to be drug into your little feud on movies to piss each other off.
Too late. Too late.
To me, I thought we were all good now because of Castaway, but maybe not. Maybe August is going to spite us once more.
I am.
Why?
No, I'm actually not. I was thinking about it because you did title that is hard to be a good movie, that podcast.
I took a quote out of the podcast.
I was going to give you two choices between the movies, and I was going to make you pick it.
Me?
Yeah.
All right.
I was going to have you choose between Holy Mountain by Alejandro Jodorowsky, which is experimental and in color, and then...
That's good to
know. It's in color, Jamie.
It's in color.
Yeah, colors. I can look at the colors. Blue and red.
But it doesn't have a plot.
Okay.
So then I was going to give you a choice between that, and I forgot what the other one was going to be, but it was going to be black and white and foreign.
but had a plot. Oh, High and Low by Akira Kurosawa.
Ooh.
Ooh, yeah.
So you're not, you said was in past tense, you're not giving me an option
anymore? I'm not this time.
All right.
I am choosing for us to watch House.
Oh, thank God.
All 9 seasons before next week.
Okay, I'm going to kill myself now.
I mentioned Hugh Lowry, that was our segue.
Yep.
Stop with the foreplay. I'm getting limp here. What is the movie?
It is House. It is actually okay, House.
Good.
It's a 1977 Japanese horror film, but it's not really that scary. It's probably scary for the time. Psychedelic. Yeah, psychedelic horror.
That sounds cool.
It's really, the editing is freaking crazy as hell in this movie, and it's awesome.
Me and August talked about it one night, and I know this film. I know of this film.
Yeah.
And I've wanted to see it. But I think the first time you mentioned House as a horror movie, I was thinking...
House 2?
House 2, the 1980s horror movies. So we kind of had like a conversation back and forth before we even realized that we're talking about two different movies.
Nice. Yeah. Because I didn't know that one existed.
Yeah.
That's what I thought we were watching, honestly, until you said Japanese 77. Okay.
Nah, this one's a little bit different. Next week, tune in. We'll be talking about House and some other films.
Watching House? We're doing stuff? Watching Topic Time?
Nap time first.
We are going to... delve into House and many other topics and movies, so stay tuned.
Like and subscribe. Sorry, I was having seizure time.
Okay, gotcha. Like and subscribe.
Edit that out.
Email us at notquitepod@gmail.com. If you ever have a suggestion, I'll take it on. I'll take it as my communal movie if you guys give us a movie. I'll promise you the next time somebody emails us, i.e. the first time somebody emails us.
I will not promise that, though.
I'll give my next one up if somebody emails me with a suggestion, Spencer, and or Brandon, and so let me know, and like us on Facebook, Not Quite Hollywood, pretty simple, and that is it. I'm Jamie,
John,
and I was August,
because he's dead, we killed him.
No, I'm still August.
Yay,
it's over. Do something better with your life.
Stop recording. Don't let him talk us out of more subscribers.
God.